Anne Hughes, Virginia Beach, May 24th, 1998.
It was a sweet brother that came nearly 2,000 years ago. Many know him as Jesus, Jeshua ben Joseph, Emmanuel. It really is immaterial. Let us call him Fred for fun. Jesus. He made a very profound statement, or it is attributed to this dear one that he made this statement. By their fruits shall ye know them. This is what is happening here on earth at this moment in time, beloved of my heart. There are many souls that are awakening on the journey, and the journey can only ever be unconditional love. There was another comment that was made by this dear brother as well. I and my Father are one. The Father being the divine will. We may even say that the Mother can be the divine love, the nurture, nature, and creation itself. What was meant by that was there is only I am. In its billions of facets. Those facets are engendered as souls. Each and every beloved being on this planet is a spark of the divine. It is immaterial whether they appear to be awake or not. It does not matter. For they are the beloved. It is only the consciousness of separation that is allowed a collective thought form of humanity, not to recognize itself in another. But I wish to say to you what I am really means. I am is the beloved. I am has no labels. It has no forms. It has no titles. It has no degrees. It has no gurus. It has no ministers. It has no reverence. It has no priests. Now, when I say this, please understand what I am saying to you here. At no stage am I negating the fact that humanity has felt that it needed to create constructs in order to find out and try to remember who it is. These are the many mythologies of humanity's journey in not forgetting who they were, or not remembering, rather, who they were. In the process of trying to remember, they would look outside of themselves. And maybe there would be a dear brother that would come into their lives where they would choose to adore rather than recognizing that they were seeing themselves through that brother. So we may say that there have been many, many journeys or many constructs of how we perceive God, all that is, the Eternal One. But I am here with great love, with great joy, with great blessings, to say to you that I am not a teacher. For me to even say that would be an indication that I wish you to follow my method. There is no method, dear heart. There is no intellectual concept here. I will speak to you as love and ask and know that you are hearing the love within your hearts as I speak to you. It does not matter how I will use the construct, how I will use the form, how I will verbalize, for there is only the beloved in front of you. Forget the facet that you are looking at here. You are simply listening to yourselves, beloved of my heart. Again, I ask that you bear with me, dear hearts, whether you perceive that some of the words that I may use may not fit with your paradigm of how you perceive and how you think and how you may choose to intellectualize. But I'm here to honor everybody's journey, no matter how the constructs may have taken place, in order to awaken. Whether it is through the construct of religion, whether it is construct of metaphysicality, philosophy, ideology, it is not to negate at any stage anybody's perception of how they are looking for that part within themselves. But I am is the beloved in consciousness here. I am is love unconditional that says I am that I am. And this was perhaps one of the most beautiful gifts given to us as a key, we may say. Whether that construct was perceived as religion later on, it is immaterial. The construct was known, we may use the expression, as the Christ. And what does the Christ mean? It is, we will convey clearly, a construct known as the Greek for Christos, which was an interpretation of the Hebrew known as Messiah. Again, language within language within language. And the Messiah means the anointed. Now, the anointed is the choice to be anointed of love. As I am speaking to you, as I said, please, beloved of my heart, don't get caught up in the constructs and the verbalization that I will use. But I am looking at you and saying how blessed I am to look at the beloved in front of me, the beloved in its billions of facets. As you heard me say, by their fruits shall ye know them. So it has nothing to do with how you perceive yourselves, little ones. When we say, by their fruit shall ye know them, that does not mean it is not you. It is not about somebody even sitting and on a lectern or talking from a lectern. It does not matter, for it is you, beloved, the awakening of who you are. And that is the consciousness, the love that emanates from you. Not by what you do, not by what sort of job you have, not from what family you have come from, not what program you may have come into through your parental consciousness or constructs, which is, if there is any consciousness, based on some form of spirituality or religion or something like that. It is the love. It is the radiance that you are. It is that knowing as you look at your brother that there needs to be no further separation in how you perceive things. It is that realization that you only want to serve. Serve is selfless. It is the God, the inner God within you that is awakening. And this is what is taking place on this planet. You, many of you as a collective consciousness, as a collective grouping of souls, have chosen to awaken. Now we may use the expression that there are many dear ones, and it is because of these many dear ones that have been down these many paths in many, we may say, lifetimes, or the souls that have come in at different times of civilization, where they have talked about and maybe structured how they perceive the Eternal One, Prime Source, all that is, God, whatever, in their journey and in their desire to find out who they are. And so in that process, we may say there was an externalization. The God, or God in their image, not realizing that God requires no image. God is. God is isness. It is beingness, not just doingness. For you see, human being is a simple construct that you also created as a collective consciousness, choosing the word human being, and listen to the wonderful word. God-man being or angel-man being, because who? The ancient Druidic expression meaning the sound of God itself at last being. There is awakening on this planet. The awakening is so powerful, for you see what is taking place now. You, as a collective thought form of souls, have chosen to awaken within your hearts rather than in your minds. The programs here for the lifetimes of consciousness, we may say, has been extremely powerful based on mental construct. Now I ask that you bear with me as I'm talking to you to try and help in some respects to further give you a, what may I say, to throw something out of you just to listen and to feel and maybe to make some sense for you as to what is taking place with each and every one of you now and why you, beloved of my heart, have chosen to be here and to bless me with your presence. We will talk the construct of mankind. Here is Creator choosing the most incredible journey. Creator wants to know itself, for Creator is all that is. It is the unmanifested, it is the light. It is the many mansions of itself. But there is one particular mansion that it wants to know and experience, even though it is sent out through harmonic consciousness, the sound. Whether we call it the harmony from the archangelic planes, in order to receive the sound and start the creation. It does not matter how it was perceived and how it was written. We are here now. That is all we need to know. But just to digress a little, Creator said, I want to know part of myself in full self-consciousness. So it said, I want to experience a co-creative part of myself. In such a way, where there will be sentient consciousness of myself, sentient beings, full consciousness, in the physical. For this process to take place in historical concepts, there had to be a consciousness brought into being, which would be known, we may say, as this sweet brother called Earth, or sister, or mother. Gaia, little Gaia. For that is the consciousness of love on one level, choosing to incarnate itself in a way that it will present its physical kingdom for us to play on, Creator from another level, for us to experience a Garden of Eden and be aware that we are Creator playing. For you see, we could say that Creator said, I want to play, but I want to have playmates. I want to enjoy myself. So here is this most incredible consciousness being brought into being. We will perhaps use the expression over linear time. Aeons and aeons of time. So here is the beginning of the planetary consciousness about to take place. The elemental kingdoms. Earth, fire, air, and water. The salamanders, the undines, the gnomes, the sylphs. The second part of the consciousness brings in, again, they're the builders. The elementals are the builders. The next part that comes in is the beautiful mineral kingdom, for that is going to be our receiver stations on another level. This is going to be our base, our grounding. And it is going to be of crystalline structures. There, again, is the receiver and transmitter about to take place for us on other levels. They are going to be our earth, our soil, our rocks, our minerals. Then, of course, we have the animal kingdom, or rather the plant kingdom, the verdant nature, the beautiful grass, the soft carpet on which we will walk, the breath of our lungs in which we will breathe through the trees, the many diversities of colors of plants of joy in its many aspects showing us as the pansies turn their face towards us and smile, as the rose emits the most beautiful smell of love itself. So many ways to show us that we are love and that we are creator of love itself. And then the next part comes in. The animal kingdoms. Look at the animal kingdoms. What an exciting process. They are going to show us our wild side because we are going to go berserk even when we finally incarnate into a human consciousness. They show us our wolves. They show us our canine, the faithful animal who looks at us, from what we call one end of the spectrum to the other. They show us the wild king, the cat, the jungle beast itself. That is going to be our wild nature, for we are not going to know, because we are going to experience animal nature as well, as part of creation. And then, of course, our beautiful cat that is tame, that it loves to be petted. It loves to be fed, but what does it do when it's had enough? Up goes the tail, and off it goes. Look at the self-containment, not codependency, beloved of my heart. Self-containment showing us it is completely independent of itself. It enjoys being with you, dear heart, when it wants its cuddles and when it wants its food, but then it's off. Now, meanwhile, we as Creator are watching all of this. We are watching this through ethereal consciousness. We are not quite ready to take the big plunge yet. In the process of watching this, we are, again, as many levels of our consciousness are incarnate through these kingdoms, through the planetary consciousness. And we do something that is rather interesting. we decide let's shape shift. How do we shape shift? Look at many of you who are remembering and have been remembering. Token animals. Many of you have been into what we call the shamanistic concepts, being very fascinated by seeing and being able to understand what the wolf, the coyote, and many others, those who are experiencing some of perhaps of the collective experience of shamanism. The shape-shifting was because we were not yet ready to fully densify. So we said, let's see what it is like to experience being in a more dense consciousness. So let's experience flying like an eagle 1 minute, been there, done that, worn the t-shirt. Okay, let's try something else. And then we took the big one, beloved of my heart. We took the big one. We said, we're in. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed it particularly also because we also watched the animals mating. The mating game took off and we went, wow. And we came in. We came in from ethereal, young, ethereal souls of the divine, sparks of the divine, ensouling, ensouling, and finally densifying. And that is when we may say the first beginning of man started. Now, listen to the word, man. Not human yet, but man. And the consciousness of man was a, we may say, collective consciousness, where there was no separation at the time for us. We looked at each other, and we were the hunter-gatherers on many levels. Now, in the process of the evolutions, and bear in mind I'm talking about many evolutions that took place before we even reached the stage of the highest form of the animal kingdom, because man, as we know it, in the physical, and that is what is so fantastic taking place here, in the physical reached or chose to experience the highest form of the animal kingdom as a physical being, so into the carnal energy. When I say the carnal, not in denial of the sexual consciousness, listen to what I'm saying here. Chose and said, we are going to come in and we are going to take a biped. Now, I am not talking Darwinian, so please dismiss this out of your mind, not to negate this dear brother who started to hypothesize many things. He was searching, he was looking, and he was trying to work out missing links in his journey. Missing links were the fact that we had great civilizations on one level and then we had the primates at exactly the same time. So this did not quite make sense. For bear in mind, we were not the primates. We were the divine sparks that had chosen to ensoul in a consciousness which is known as man. But the consciousness was about to become self-conscious. Why? Because at the same time this is taking place, we have other evolutions taking place exactly at the same time. The dinosaurs. The dinosauric age. Now, this is very tenuous. Here we're about to divinitize and we're going to bring something through here into the physical. How can we do it, beloved, when we've got great big creatures walking across this planet? Who have outgrown their brains in many respects and don't, and are simply probably have pea brains but huge bodies. Again, this is part of creation. This is, in some respects, we may say, a threat to our body vehicles, to our whole reason for this journey to take place. Why? They have larger, large feet. And probably some of them are looking at us and saying, yum, yum. They weren't all herbivores or arbivores. Some of them were carnivores. So, of course, we may say here is a potential threat to this whole experience that we're going to go for. Creator parts of ourselves said, time to give them self-consciousness. Time to give them self-consciousness so they can pick up the bone and realize that they can protect themselves. For you see, the protection was to be able to keep this physical manifestation here and at the same time in due course marry it with a greater level of consciousness called I Am or Spirit. Concepts, bear in mind, dear heart, concepts, but they are interesting concepts. In the process, as we started to realize that we had self-consciousness because we are going to protect this human ego, We're going to protect this physical manifestation. We then started to identify with our body consciousness very powerfully. That's when we realized we had to. This physical manifestation was going to be important for our experience. Physicality. Co-creator in due course. We also started to see ourselves separately as well. Now, bear in mind, we had been watching the mating game as well, so we're talking way back, because, again, I'm going to throw another one at you. When we started as ethereal consciousness and we started to anchor into the physical, sparks of the divine ensouling, slowing down its vibration and coming into these electromagnetic fields of physical universes, as people say. We were hermaphrodite. We were one. We had no, in actual fact, we could produce of ourselves. There required no male and female. We were it, the oneness. And that is why for many of you, as you've gone through, and perhaps some of you have been down the mystical schools, or you have searched some of the literatures, it does not matter, because these are all anthologies that we created from civilization to civilization in the search of who we are. We did not need to what we call go through procreation. We just recreated ourselves, and we were the hermaphrodite, the male and the female. Now, we said, hang on a minute. What's the fun? The mating game is what we came to experience as well as coming into this consciousness. So we said, let's split. Let's split the cell, and let's create a masculine and a feminine, a male and a female itself. And this, we may say, would be the beginning of the first Adam and Eve principle. And then Adam looked at Eve. Eve looked at Adam and said, he's mine, she's mine. And of course, we had a number of Adam and Eves by then. And of course, most of the time we were looking for the wrong half, as we will say. That is when the codependency started. Now, what do? We say, let's fall in consciousness here. Let's go down further. Let's go further into the void, for this is going to be a fascinating experience for us. And we chose to fall in love. Listen to it. We fell in love. Now, it doesn't matter how we have written our scripts to tell us and to remind us about being sent out of the Garden of Eden. It does not matter. These are all to be honored, and they are sweet and endearing once we get through it. We realize there is no such thing as a sinner. We chose our own experience. Yes, we forgot, and we chose to forget on some respects who we were. Why? We wanted to experience emotion. We wanted to know what it was like to feel. Now, the animals don't have any feeling. They have on one level, but not self-consciousness. They're group consciousness. They're different ways of consciousness. They are still part of us, their creator, and they are sacred. But we said we want to know self-consciousness more, more, more. So we want to know what it's like to feel about each other. Let's see what it's like. And in that feeling, we then created one of the biggest dramas that this earth has ever experienced from its inception. Codependency. Look what happened. We needed and forgot that we were love, so we chose to split off as the two. To forget that we were love, but we had feeling. And so we kept looking outside of ourselves for our missing Adam. For our missing Eve. That part we said, there is remembrance of union here. We were one. But we said, let's see what it's like to see each other reflectively outside of ourselves. So we kept searching and searching. And we created the most incredible dramas. For you see, in forgetting who we were, that we were love incarnate. We needed the love and approval outside of ourselves to feel love within. We needed our Adam to feel whole. We needed our Eve to feel whole. And listen to the word, the need, took off very powerfully. And that was, we will call, the 3D levels took off. And this is what is happening as many of you are awakening now and saying, it's time to leave the 3D levels. Billions will not. For you see, the 3D levels are the drama, the illusion and the maya that takes off. Now, we are physical, beloved, and we are the divine physical. All that's happened was, on the many journeys of experience. We have created a material illusion. We even created the work scenario when we said mine, not yours. We forgot our balance of our masculine and our feminine. We were out of balance with our male and out of balance with our female, our left and our right brain. Many ways to put it, many ways. So most of the time, humanity, until fairly recently, and it's only a few souls that have been able to awaken here. Now, when I say this, consciousness, or to be conscious, is totally different from being awake. Now, we can say at the time of Jeshua ben Joseph that many dear ones were conscious. They were aware of something called God. But in that consciousness, there was a structured process whereby they had created the God in their image so strongly, or inherited it from previous consciousness, whether we call it the Mosaic law. What took place, and let me explain to you, and why I will single a brother called Jeshua ben Joseph who was awake. Now, he wasn't too appreciated at the time. The reason being, and most understandably so, he started to become so awake. And it doesn't matter how the mythologies or how the histories have been linearized of how they perceive whether it is Jeshua ben Joseph or Buddha or anybody else, because there are always stories written about them, and most of them are mythologies. I'm going to tell you, this dear one had as much problems as you and I. He was a physical being on this planet, but he awoke to his divine I Am. That's what he awoke to. Now, at the time, he is coming across, and he's been brought up in the Essenic Brotherhood. He's come in, and he's deliberate, and he's very smart. He ensouled in the Essenic Brotherhood, where at that time perhaps they would be more God-conscious than most of his other brothers or the groups around him. There were many groups of very, and again at the time there was a lot of historical concepts going on. The Romans, and of course the huge wars between the Judaic people. Now, I'm not talking, again, I will always say this to you, I have not talking about nationality, I'm just giving you concepts here. Now, what does Jeshua go and do? Beloved Jeshua, Jesus, he challenges them immediately. For he does not understand how anyone would want to kill a little lamb. Why on earth, he says, would you want to kill a little lamb to pay homage to God? And they said, but this must be done, this is Jehovah, and this is the Mosaic law. Again, there have been many levels of consciousness over Earth's civilization to try and wake humanity up or to get them God-conscious. So most of the time, because of our mental constructs, we created outside of ourselves. So we created God as a little man up on a throne with a white beard, most of us, in collective consciousness, we will say. Now, here's an immediate challenge. Why? He's waking up, but something is not gelling here. He says, well, dear hearts, basically, if you are killing a little lamb to pay homage to God, that's not my God. My God is unconditional love. My God is love. And it is within it. And he starts to say, ye are gods. In fact, one may say that perhaps he was the first of democracy that walked on this planet. Mind you, there had been many dear ones prior that had tried to get it away, open. But this dear one had an energy about him which was very profound. And the reason for that was he started to connect with his God self within. And that's when he started to use expressions like, I and my Father are one. He was connecting with his higher self. And his higher self, the I Am presence, all that is, beloved, was steering him, love was starting to steer him. At the time, of course, his dear ones outside did not appreciate. He is going to challenge the old structure. Listen to the old structure, the old concept of God. This always takes place at every civilization. Because as we awaken, we always, we may use the expression, rehash old concepts. One of the greatest, again, I'd say this with great love. When people talk to me about metaphysics, I say, wonderful, this is just the midway station to finally connecting with who you are. And you're waking up, brilliant. But it is still, on some respects, a rehash as well. Because there will always be, as we come into different civilizations of consciousness, we will have a totally different feeling or thought form about it. So we'll change the names in order to evolve and to increase and use different words for old words, as we will say. But again, this is to be honored. What I am saying to you here, dear hearts, is that the Christ, the Buddha and the Krishna, it doesn't matter what names you give it, it's you on another level. These were simply facets that woke up. And at the time when Jesus woke up, he did something which I will say, or he presented something which allowed a remembrance for us in our encoded keys of consciousness. He said, I and my Father are one, and therefore you are not what you think you are. You are love. He kept saying, ye are gods, and he's using this expression. Not mythological outside of yourself. Now you see, the reason for the killing of the little lamb at the time was to pay homage to Aries, which was the sign of Aries, which was the ram. So these were inherited what we call pagan or mythological myths. The slaying of the bulls was always to pay homage outside of ourselves to Taurus the bull. Again, to do with astrology, astronomy, and so on. We had created this incredible consciousness over civilizations and many, many lifetimes of cultures and civilizations. These were concepts because we were still not able to awaken. And in the past, we can say, many souls or souls would come in and create an impetus to try and awaken us. Souls that perhaps were more expanded but would still have to come into the 3D levels, basically what we call the security level, how we perceive ourselves, the sexual level, procreation, and the solar plexus, which is emotion. These are levels that we chose to engender, to start and to firm up an incredible base. A base which is the physical, which is going to be the physical temple itself of the divine, dear heart. And of course, it is honored. I will always honor it. But the awakening was, again, there was impetus always would come in. And so, of course, with great love, because we are young souls in this journey, that would take place. The time wasn't quite ready for us to take it to the next level. It wasn't quite ready. So what would they do? They would bring in souls that would awaken and be much stronger than most of the collective souls there. And they would start to irradiate some energy, which was the impetus of the Christ or the Buddha or the Krishna, which is a love consciousness, I am presence itself. And of course, everybody would say, wow, JC, Jesus, or Yeshua, or Buddha. And of course, again, yet again, it's outside of ourselves. They are aware that they're looking at something within, but they're seeing it rather than seeing it as a reflective mirror. They are seeing it outside, and this has always gone on for generation after generation, construct after construct. But something spectacular is now taking place. You have the reason why you are here. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Something within you now is saying, been there, done that, worn the t-shirt. Everything within you is saying, hang on a minute. It's not about religions. It's again there to be honored. It's not something, it's not about organizations or structures. It's about oneness meeting itself in its many facets. It's about all of us meeting together in unity. No longer the separation. For you see, unity is love in diversity. And that is community in its true sense. One person can be the community of all that is by love radiating through them. By being the love, not doing it and talking about it, not lecturing and threatening hell and damnation or anything like that. They played their parts and they have been very honored. But this time, before you incarnated, you said, we're going to go for it. Why? I'm going to give it to you again. Here we have the man or the human consciousness on one level, the physical being. Then it moves from a physical being, or what we call a primitive being on one level, to the next stage, which is self-consciousness. From the self-consciousness, it then went in to the mental construct or the mind, for this was going to be important. We're creator. We want to produce with a very, very healthy mind. So we develop a mind consciousness or a mental body so powerfully that we will be co-creator in due course. But at the time, we are still very primitive in our thought forms, in our consciousness. We've only just picked up the bone, don't forget, dear heart. So we would receive help every so often from higher levels of consciousness that would descend as impetus to say, now, the stick and the carrot. Now, if you don't be good children, you're going to. And we wrote the mythologies. We wrote them all as creator from another level. What is taking place now is magnificent. You are moving from self-consciousness, from the magnificent mind consciousness, the true mind, is coming through. But from the mind that is opening up to I am that is the expanded consciousness of creator itself. You're moving into further co-creative. You're moving out of the procreative consciousness. What's the procreative consciousness? Most of humanity is still in it. Is their fear about their money, their fear about their religions, their fear about God, their fear about their children. For you see, this is the illusion of the emotion that we were so strongly. We created the codependencies amongst ourselves, forgetting we are simply facets of one love in billions of ways. The most magnificent realization that we are unity, love in diversity itself. Before you incarnated, you knew what you were going to do. And you were told as souls, as facets of the divine, this is what's taking place. You want to give it a go? And you said, you bet. You couldn't wait to get in. In fact, may I congratulate you on being so smart to choose to arrive for this time. And this is where I will always honor father and mother and all those who came before us. Why? These beloved souls came into fixed constructs, to fixed thinking. So for them to try and awaken was quite a challenge. But you, my beloved, and beloved Flory, you, all of you, you said we're coming in for this moment of time. Why? Right from the 30s onwards it started. We'll just give this linear time. Because you knew this was the beginning of creator choosing to awaken in the physical. Not the other way around, not us aspiring to creator, but creator was going to download. Creator said, I want to awaken in the physical. This has worked so far, and now it's time to go for it. So we said, we'll move out of the procreative consciousness, which is the repeat cycle. My father did it. My grandfather did it. My father voted Democrat. My grandfather voted Democrat. My great-grandfather voted Democrat, if it was still there. And you, son, had better vote Democrat. Because our family have done it. Do you see what I'm saying here, beloved? It was only conditioning. To wake up in the conditioning is a challenge. And because we created the collective thought form. Now, I'm not talking about Democrat. I'm not interested. I don't have a clue what all of that means. Other than the fact that it's a different political consciousness of some sort. But when I talk about democracy, I talk about freedom. Freedom to be who you really are, the beloved incarnate here, the true love that you are. You knew. From the 30s onwards, you were in the middle between two world wars, the 1916-18 war, then we knew there was going to be, already we knew. And we knew that when we would choose to come in, our parents would be right at the zenith of the most incredibly, when we say that, not the parents, the collective consciousness that chose the wars, that we have all been responsible for as a collective consciousness of humanity, the thought forms of separation so powerful that we're killing ourselves through each other all the time, forgetting that we are love. Every time we kill a brother, we've killed ourselves. We've actually denied our very existence, who we are, love. The divine love eternal here. Sparks of the divine from all that is. Not realizing. Even having religious war saying, my God is better than your God. Again, an external mechanism. Not realizing love is God itself. True love, unconditional love. That places no condition on any dear brother of any sort. that honors everybody. Everybody who is in front of you, even if they may not have the same view as you. Love only ever allows. And so, of course, we chose to come in at the height of a most destructive consciousness on one level. But we have chosen deliberately. So, of course, our parents didn't understand us. Of course, we appeared to be the square peg in the round holes. Something didn't always resonate. Sometimes we would be good children because it was so overwhelming. But not to negate, dear ones. Never a negation. For bear in mind, for those souls to come into a fixed consciousness at the time and try and wake up was a big one. We were smart. We came in right at the time when we knew we were ready now to go the opposite way, if I can put it that way. We were going to be the systems busters. How many of you came up against the systems busters when you started to talk about metaphysics or meditation and things like that? How many of your family didn't understand where the blazes you were coming for because at the time they were in a construct of religion which says you have to go to somebody and you have to be near God, you have to go through a priest or you have to go through a minister or you have to come and repent? Not to negate it. This was what we wrote as scripts over many lifetimes of the consciousness of humankind. So there is never a judgment here. But you were going to be the systems busters. Because you were going to be searching for who you really were. And nothing was going to make sense outside of yourself anymore. And of course for you, some of you woke earlier. And you shut down because it was too overwhelming by the pressure from outside. Of not conforming. You were going to be non-conformists. It doesn't matter how it took place. But as I said, you were very smart because you knew you were going to awaken. And you knew the likelihood was that billions of souls would not choose to awaken. But by your awakening, you would help to shift the collective consciousness of humanity itself. This is what I am saying to you. The awakening is unconditional love. It's not a label. The awakening has nothing to do. It is the search, yes. The constructs and the what we call the concepts of how we perceive God have many labels. But sooner or later we look in the mirror and we say, beloved, take command. For what is taking place for you? You are choosing to divinitize matter itself. You are choosing to be awakened as the beloved. And the beloved doesn't say, how am I going to manage, where am I going to go, what am I going to do? The beloved, the presence that is awakening within you, is called I am. I am that I am. It is the will, it is the Father. It is the Mother, it is the love. Holding and embracing the Sun, the light, you, S-U-N, its very consciousness here that sent it in, for this great journey to take place, for this great awakening. So many, many souls are choosing to awaken. It's not again outside of yourself. When many dear ones get distracted outside, I say, dear heart, the journey is within. For you see, what is taking place is for the revolution is within in order for the evolution without, but not the revolt against brother humanity, not the revolt against people that you don't perceive comes from your perception, but embracing everybody, not in your perception, but in your heart of love. Little Mother Teresa, I will just throw this one, a little brother. She never looked and decided, was this dear one of my religion? She went and embraced the Christ to her heart. She saw through the eyes of the Christ at the face of the Christ. Yes, it didn't matter whether she had come from some form of program or we may say religion, whatever, in how she had chosen to serve God. But God came from within. The Peace Program, another sweet brother, I don't know whether you've heard of it, many dear ones. She walked amongst her brothers. She never said, how am I going to manage? She just said, use me, use me. For you see, love, and I can say to you, how many of you are choosing now to awaken as love? The awakening is love. It's not about a concept. But in that awakening, again, there are many people who are conscious spiritually, but they're in their fear still about this. And this, again, is to be understood because these are the 3D levels that they're being asked to let go of, not to deny physicality, not to deny money or abundance. It's your fear about it that stops it coming through. When you realize your love, you are the money and the abundance. You are it. You are God. You are creator. As I say, with great fun, it was a little difficult for us to get goats and sheep in our pockets anymore. So we created money, and we created even to an extent a plastic card and reduced it even further. And look how dependent we became. Again, these are our challenges, not in denial, but in saying, hang on a minute. Who's in charge of whom? Is the money in charge of me, or I am in charge of the money? Your creator. And you're allowing, on one level, something outside to dictate to you. And this has always been the programming of fear. But you are love. You are love, beloved of my heart, letting go of fear. I will say clearly, when dear ones start to talk to me about love, I say, dear heart, how many of you are doing a job from love?
End of side one.
If I were to say to you, are you worried about what is the end of the week will come to you? How many of you are serving from love? If you love what you do, to even the holistic healers, to all the people who are talking metaphysics and spirituality who are charging huge fees. Not to deny it, I'm not asking, I'm not having judgment, I'm simply saying, would you do it for nothing? Or do you still have some fear, little ones, that says, I have to do this and have to charge? No one has to charge. Love never charges for love. Why would you charge for yourselves, little ones? Not to deny that if someone wants to give to you, then you will accept, for that is the universal law, and eventually we have to come to that. We wrote it. It's no good us writing it and looking at it, but not applying it in every sense of the word. Until you give, you cannot receive. But when you place love with conditions, unconditional love has no conditions at all of any sort. You are choosing to awaken. And this is why I'm here to encourage you, to support you. I understand what appears to be the outside challenge was for you, because the conditioning is so powerful here. But I can say to you, there only requires a few little brothers to fully awaken, and humanity can shift consciousness very quickly, for you are humanity. You are your world. You are your creator and creation. In the reference to the 3D levels, I am not here to deny any dear ones who wish to still undertake a journey with somebody else. There are many dear ones who are awakening or are conscious in partnerships. And it may be that they've chosen at this time that the best way that they feel as a soul they can assist humanity, or the consciousness, is to walk as two brothers without the codependency, is to be the prototypes of what we call the new human relationship, the divine Adam and Eve relationship, where they still feel that they need to be with each other. And that is to be honored, but not in screaming and yelling and fighting and kicking, but accepting each other in love, allowing their partner to be where they wish to be and vice versa, and supporting with love who they are. There are many, many souls awakening at different stages. This is what I'm saying to you. There are billions who will not awaken but will receive the benefit from your conscious shift and your choose to serve the beloved, whichever way you feel. There are many souls that have been down the many paths and are choosing now to walk in such a way that they don't require a relationship outside of themselves, but they accept everybody as their lover, not in the physical or the 3D levels. I'm not talking about nymphomaniacs or anything like that, dear hearts. I'm talking about serving with love and saying, Father of my heart, beloved of my soul, all that is, use me. Use me that I will manifest that which you have sent me to do, which is what a dear brother Jesus talked about. He was beyond himself. He was no longer in the self. For you see, the 3D levels are still the self, but they're to be honored. And that is why I'm here to support each and every one of you, however you perceive you can best serve on your journey. But true love, the master, unconditional love, is selfless. It doesn't say, I need you in order to feel love about myself. I need you because I'm in fear of being alone. Love is not lonely. When you experience God within your being at every moment of the day, there is no time to be lonely because you are out of time itself. Now, many of you are awakening. And in that process, all I can do and encourage you and support you is to ask you to trust who you are. Don't intellectualize. And this is why I want to talk about perhaps some of the metaphysics or the spiritual concepts. They are, and they have played their part magnificently, whether we call them the mystical schools, whether we call them metaphysics, whether we call them the unity churches, many and many, many ways. It does not matter. These are the concepts that were brought in to get us out of the fundamentalist concepts. There still, we have everything at exactly the same time here, from the deep fundamental concepts, the strict paradigm of looking at the Bible and saying, that's it. Unless you're my religion, then you do not apply, become a Christian, as far as I'm concerned. Again, as I say to everybody, Christ is completely divorced from Christianity. Christ is love. It is not separation, as I say. Unity is love. Christ is love. Buddha is love. Krishna is love. Most of the time, in the concept of how we see religion, it is called separation. But true religion is love itself, unconditional, totally and utterly. Where instead of you knowing that everything within you says, help me, beloved of my heart, to let go of any perceptional judgment that I have. Do not let me judge, only help me love. Use me, use me, use me. And this is why I'm here to encourage you in that respect. I am meeting so many magnificent souls, and I say how blessed I am. So many, many dear ones who are yearning and who are searching. And I'm saying there is no requirement for you to search anymore. Look in the mirror and say, hello, beloved. For until you allow the beloved mirror to mirror outside, whilst you see hate in your heart, you will only see it outside of yourselves. Whilst you see judgment in your heart and judge yourselves, you will only see it outside. When you have fear, you will only reflect it and see it outside. It has nothing to do with what you are striving now. You have played magnificent roles, many of you. Many of you will continue the holistic concepts because you are remembering and choosing to look at your wholeness. Many of you will present a most beautiful, comforting role to people, whereby, yes, people will come to you, whether it's through some form of holistic or some form of guidance. But when you love, you won't need to worry about what the outcome is at the end of it. For you will be there using your tools. For love is who you are, beloved of my heart, and the tools are simply the mechanisms outside of yourself. As I said, many dear ones are coming to me and saying, what is my mission? I'm saying, beloved, there is no mission. Be the unconditional love, the presence that you are. It is not about any concept or how you perceive yourself, whether you're standing on a stage or in front of an audience. It is to feel blessed that you are in the physical watching yourselves through Brother Humanity. It is to feel blessed that you hear the birds in the trees and you look at the beloved divine nature of yourself in everything that you see. That is true love. It is not to be wishy-washy, no. But true love is to feel where you wish to be. Feel and discern where you wish to be. Feel. It's feeling. Not emotion, but true feeling. So there is never a judgment outside of yourself of what you think another should do in relationship to you. Listen to the difference, dear ones. Discernment is where I feel I wish to be. Judgment wishes I feel you are beyond that. Judgment is what you think another should do. And when you let go of that and you just work with your feeling. Now, how does that feeling take place? And that is, again, I'm here to honor. I do understand what people are saying to me when they say to me, what is my wish? And they're raring to go. I can feel your energies. It's so powerful. It's so gorgeous. For this is the beloved awakening. This is the child that's ready to go. And you're ready to run. But run to where? Now. Now is where you are. For you see, you are moving out, and this is the reason why I'm helping you to let go of how you perceive everything outside of you. The labels. When somebody says to me, I want to heal, but I better have a shingle, I say, sweetheart, it's called fear. I will share something with you. Dear JC, as I call him, Jesus. And I've called him Fred, and he loves it. Because he said, this is not about me. I too had to awaken just as you. I and you are one. It's all so lovably simple, don't you see? I am you and you are me. We are each other's love itself. Not one person. This was just a facet like you and I came in and awoke and was able to shift some consciousness. And in doing, in choosing to let go of the physical, he showed us that we could go beyond the death process of what we call resurrection or ascension. These were simply concepts. I don't want to get too much into that because I don't want to plague on one person. This is not what I'm here. I've come from no religions, dear heart. I have never. And I came when I was awoken. When the awakening took place for me. I was down no spiritual path. No conscious path, not that I was aware of. No metaphysical path. No religious path, no paranormal path, no astrologies, no labels, none of this. It was, I might have had a bit of a shock for me at the time. But I took it on the chin. And I'm still taking it on the chin. I am is all there is. But what he said with reference to healing, which is what I absolutely loved. The greatest healer, and I know this, is unconditional love. For when you are unconditional love, there is nothing to heal. He only recognized and saw perfection in his brothers because I asked him, I said, what did you do? Tell me more about your journey. I've never read anything about you. What's it about? And he said, well, a few things. So I said, I probed and said, okay, fine. What about the healing? He said, what healing? And I said, I hear people say you were a great healer, that you were one of the greatest healers that ever walked on this planet. And just he just absolutely roared with laughter. And I said, well, hang on a minute. And he said, I never healed. I said, what? And he just looked at me with great love in his eyes. The Christ itself, not Jesus, the Christ. You are the Christ that I'm looking at now and experiencing. The Buddha and the Krishna, whatever we want to call it. The beloved I am that. He looked at me and he said, I only saw perfection in the beloved. I only saw the perfection of my brother. I comforted, but I only saw the perfection of I am that. And that being the case, as I precipitated through the I am presence, it was the consciousness that moved out of its dis-ease. I then knew what this meant. So yes, of course, I say to dear ones who are even talking about the holistic, the healing most of the time when people are talking about healing, not to deny it, and I honor it. Whatever gift, whatever tool, but it's not you. Most people, when they say, I'm a healer, they are healing within. That is why I say I am not a teacher, for there is nothing for me to flog. There is no methodology that I want you to take from me. All I am doing is sharing who I am, however you perceive it. And I am is unconditional love. It is time now, dear ones, for many of you to trust in the beloved, to trust in that God presence within your very being. Yes, many of you have also connected with what we call the ascended masters. Many, many dear ones, as you have been awakening up, You have been connecting with other levels of your God self from whence you came in the first place to descend into this experience and bring this physicality into divinity itself. Not the materialism, but the divine physical. And everything is given to you as a result. Once you let go and move yourself out of the way, your mind that wants to impede your path. For once you realize you are now, there is no path. Now many will arrive at the doorway. And maybe they will choose not to walk through because they do not trust their beloved within. So they will choose yet another religion, or another journey, or another attraction or distraction outside of themselves rather than take it. And I'm here to encourage you to take it. And it is so simple. It is ridiculously simple. I'm here to honor you, to support you, and to love you, and to ask you to consider taking the shortcut. Many, many of you, I am certain, and billions more, but many of you, even those who have become conscious in God consciousness, have been taking the scenic route. Not to deny the scenic route, for even as you would journey, you were helping others along your scenic route. Whether it was through workshops and all this sort of thing, they're all to be honored. Some of you have become workshop junkies, and that is fine. You may choose to let go of that addiction. For you see, until you know who you are addicted to pain and fear. And love has no addiction. None. I am is the open door that no man can shut. That is the greatest key that was ever given to us. Now, when I say this, I'm talking again. Many of you have been connecting with higher parts of yourself. You have been meeting multi-level consciousness parts of yourself. Some of them are known as the Ascended Masters. These are simply souls who came into incarnation, walked the path, woke up, and didn't need to be in the 3D levels anymore, for they trusted their beloved I Am Presence. Every what you call the Masters, every soul, when it's ready to awaken, it doesn't matter whether they've come down the path of the Hindu, whether they've come down the path of the Brahman, whether they've come down the path of philosophy, ideology, metaphysics, it does not matter what path, when they start to become God conscious, it doesn't matter how they are looking outside of themselves for who they are. They come into the realization, I am that I am. That's the realization. But again, that realization then requires the single eye focus and commitment. Now, I want to share with you the great fun I saw when I saw your money the first time, your American dollar. Now, again, this is where the mystical schools played their parts. We wrote all our mythologies, by the way, dear hearts, over many lifetimes, our Guinevere's and our Lancelot's and all of our archetypes, and boy, have we had fun. And we've been going on, you know, clearing the earthly planet in order to, using illusions to break illusions, and that's fine, and it's all to be honored, and it's great fun. Again, these are the little building blocks that we will play with and thoroughly enjoy. And I say, have fun, kids, have fun. But sooner or later we are asked to, or we are invited to graduate. Dear heart, would you like to leave? Are you all right? Fine. I thought you were looking at time again, that is all. That sooner or later, we have a choice to graduate. And the graduation is I am that. Now, as I said to you, I looked at this money. And there was a wonderful, wonderful pyramid with a capstone. And I chuckled. I said, my God, you Americans are smart. Look how your higher levels, whether we call them the Ascended Masters, actually sent messages to you through the Founding Fathers, whoever did it in due course, even through your mystical schools and everything, that sooner or later you guys would wake up with your symbols outside of yourself. You would wake up. There is the capstone with an eye in the middle of it. And there is the rest of the pyramid, but it's split. Why? Because the 3D level is the separation. The single eye focuses I am, and when you are ready to integrate, then you'll come into full oneness itself. That is the capstone descending
onto the pyramid, which is you. You are the foundation, beloved of my heart. You are the physical manifestation that Creator wanted to awaken in. And by golly, you're doing it. Many of you, you're doing it. But it's not outside, and this is what I want to constantly write. The single eye focus is taking off. And it is, I am that. I want to share with you something that took place for me. When certain events took place for me that were very powerful at the time, and I might add that I was less than amused when I got suddenly woken up by a great manifestation of a dear brother who called himself Francis. Now, I didn't know who the blazes this person was. I was less than amused. I had a good position at a university. I'm full of my self-importance, and I think I have got it all, probably including my codependency without realizing it. And then he presented to me, and he said to me, beloved, the time is to awake. And I looked at him, I said, basically, who the blazes are you? And he said, I am no, dear artist Francis. I said, Francis who? I am known as Francis of Assisi. Now, he says this with absolute equanimity. He is calm, he is, and I am just, whoa. Now, when I say this, I had no fear. It was, the love was phenomenal, but this is an interference in my life. And then he said to me, beloved of my heart, the time is ready for you to give. Now, when he said Francis, I said, something rang in the back of my mind, and I remember my son when he was a small child coming home with a picture that he'd colored in. He'd gone to some scripture class or something, because we used to agree that he could go to different scripture classes each quarter of his, you know, so one minute it was the Methodist, the next minute, because they kept saying, well, what religion do you belong to? And we'd say none. So, of course, we finally compromised with our son for his sake, that he could be allowed to hear a Methodist preaching at him, then a Catholic preaching at him, and all sorts of things. And so he had great fun. He never joined any religion at all. He became totally self-contained in who he is. It's fine. He woke up. But not in denial. Not at all. And I said, you mean, are you the guy with animals? And he said, and much more. Now, what he showed me was a shock at the time. He said to me, beloved, it is time for you to awaken. It is time for you to give. And I went, what do you mean give? I have a good position. I'm working with people. He said, dear heart, it's called me. Me, me, me. He said, and then he showed me the many onion skins. And I have to say, I was shocked. I didn't consider myself at all unreasonable or anything like that. I was fully in my mental, fully in my what I thought was my empowerment. But I was strictly in the 3D level. Only concerned about what I got at the end of the month with my check and all this sort of thing. Promotion, you name it, I had it. And I thought everything was fine. Good family, everything. And then he said to me, beloved, it is time to give. And I went, give? He said, yes, beloved. You are not who you think you are. You are love incarnate here, and so is everybody else here. Only you have forgotten who you are. It is time for you to give. I was shocked at the time. I said, well, I put money every now and then in the Salvation Army and this and that. He said, oh, dear heart, beloved of my heart. And he goes to me, he says to me, these are Band-Aid treatments. This has nothing to do with what you are here to undertake, and many of you as you will awaken. You are unconditional love. You have chosen to awaken. I said, basically, I said, what do you mean? He said, you have already agreed to do this. I said, agreed? He said, yes, little one, it is called contract. I said, contract? I said, I don't remember any contract. And he said, you did not read the fine print. I will tell you very clearly that the ego levels were very powerful and there was tremendous resistance. But the love, the more I resisted, the more the love presented. The more it presented. The long and the short of it was, and I won't go into it all, I reached a stage where as the love started to fill me, as I started to know that I was love, and I started to see it and feel it so powerfully, not through him, but through my being. And of course, this dear one assisted me. And that's why I do say to people who are maybe still hung up on ascended masters, they are merely parts of yourselves in higher consciousness assisting you to walk to the door. At a certain stage, it was said to me, beloved, we have gone as far as is possible here now. Only you can take it. Only you can be it. We cannot do it for you. It is to be the love that you are. I was asked to walk out with, and given 24 hours. Now, this is why I'm saying this, and this is why I'm sharing with you. Not about me. Forget this. But why I know I can share with you and understand, beloved, where you are and what your fears are and what those programs are. I was given 24 hours to walk out with one change of clothes and just my passport. I was told there is a door, little one. It is open for 24 hours. But it was not to deny the world. It was not of that. I wasn't going to rush into some nunnery or some monastery or anything like that. We've all done that, been there, worn the T-shirts. We've all been our poverty consciousness. We've played every part, dear hearts. We've been the abused and the abusers, the sackcloth and ashes. We've done it all. We denied even the working through our 3D level, so we kept rushing into all these places. And that's fine. That's to be honored. And many will continue. And all is well. The first comment, and I have to say this, how do I explain it to my family? And I was told, beloved, call in your presence. You don't have to say anything. Let the presence speak through you. And then, of course, the next reaction came in so beautifully. Now, here I am. I have had this incredible experience. As people have been, in fact, within 3 days of all this taking place, I had people coming from all over to connect with me, because they're told Francis of Assisi is working with me, and they've heard it in their dreams and been given the telephone number. All sorts of absolutely off-the-planet stuff that you can't, you know. But I'm completely grounded, I might add. The reason why, as Francis said to me one day when I was putting up quite a paddy, I went, turned around and said to him, I didn't choose to come here. Why did you choose me? He said, dear heart, if we can crack you, we can crack anybody. I can tell you my ego was leveled beautifully. Beautifully. The second question came in for me. Now, it was not for me to deny the world, but I didn't know what this was about fully at the time. And of course, they cannot. Only you can take your journey. Whatever journey and how it presents. So I'm not saying you've got to do the same thing. But I'm saying why I'm sharing with you. And understand, beloved of my heart. I said, what am I going to do? I was told no money, nothing, just one change of clothes and my passport. Everything was to be left with love to my family, with love. My dear brother, husband of nearly 30 years, a wonderful brother, who was very conscious and one of my best friends, even now, particularly now, more so, because he knows brotherly love. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to manage? And, of course, everything was body, consciousness, my God. You know, and of course, I had the fear was so, just came up like that. And he just looked at me and said, beloved of my heart, ask the presence to take command. I and my Father are one. This was the Christ that manifested, when I say the Christ, through Francis. Francis is just an encodement key, and I'll explain that a little later. It's within each and every one of you, and that is why you've come to see the reflective image of yourselves. It is the Christ, the Buddha, and the Krishna. It is unconditional love, and that is why you are here. He said, all you have to do is say, I and my Father are one, take it. It was left by a wonderful brother called Jesus, an encodement key. You cannot be half pregnant, little one. As I am saying to each and every one of you, you either believe or you don't. It has nothing to do with faith anymore. Take it. I walked out, and I have to say I left a family that were absolutely stunned. But every single one of them are conscious now. And, in fact, one of the most beautiful things was said to me, and I've never asked for it. If you hadn't done what you did, we would never have woken up. Because we saw somebody walking it at last. And they were not God-conscious or what we call aware at the time. They were on no paths of any sort. They didn't believe in how they had perceived the religions because people talked about it but didn't walk about it, walk it. And only concerned of what cut they were going to get at the end of the day in money. But again, that is the collective consciousness that was very entrenched and has been for a long time. So there is no judgment. As I walked out, beloved, the birds were singing. I looked at the trees. I wasn't blissed off the planet. I was fully conscious. I was a physical human being here. And then I heard everything within my heart just sing. I heard a chorus. In fact, it was quite funny because I thought, God, people must think this is because I'm saying, why? And I'm walking along the road. And the next minute I hear, beloved of our heart, this was energy within me. How to explain what you can hear when the energies are just so incredible? I could hear it inside, outside. I could hear, it was just incredible. I heard, beloved, you will never sleep on a park bench. You will never sleep in a cardboard box. You will never wander the streets. You will want for nothing. Shall we tell you why? And I go, why? And thinking, are people looking at me as I'm saying, why? You surrender to love, not to lack. It is only lack that needs to sleep on a park bench, for they do not know who they are. That was the Christ within me. That was the I Am presence within me, God, all that is, talking to me and knowing at last. It still continues, little ones. It never stops. As I said to a facet called Buddha, when did you awake? He said, I'm still waking up. And that is why I'm sharing with you. I did it, but it was not to deny the world. That was something like 6 years ago, completely. I have not wanted for a thing. I have kept saying, I, beloved of my heart, take command of every particle of my being. I am not asking you to do that, and I would not dream of saying that to you. But it required something to take place. And it would appear that I had chosen that particular contract. I know all of you have agreed to awaken in your different ways. Not just to be God conscious and talk about God, but to be it within your very being. Love, unconditional, is who you are. And that is why I'm saying to you, when beloved Jesus left this great key, I and my Father are one, beloved, take command of every particle of my being. That's why I'm saying to you, we know that many of you are now literally on the edge, and it appears that you think you're going over to a cliff and you feel as if you're in a void. Some of you are saying, how far, where do I go now? What do I do? And we understand. Because your linear cannot conceptualize it anymore. You've walked out of a program called history, past, present, and future. You're already doing it. You are choosing, because history as we perceive it, and as I will explain it, in linear concepts, in time frequency, is the past, which is always based on emotions. How could this person do this to me? Why did he do this to me? Relationships, everything to do with 3D levels, past. 3D levels are past, present, and future. Because they're predicated on fixed consciousness. Of how you perceive yourselves in what we call the mind or the linear, the intellectual, as we say. Most of the time, it's been our left brain that's been in charge, and we haven't followed our hearts. How many times have you woken up to where your heart wanted to say something to you, and then another voice came in and said, I can't, I should, I must, I think, I ought. Shut down. And also came in via somebody else's perception, well, I wouldn't do it if I were you. You're not them, and they're not you. You are unique expressions of all that is. That's what's so unique. That's why nobody can have my journey, and I can't have yours. But we can honor the journey of oneness that we are all experiencing through our unique expressions of God itself. And we understand that the past is based on emotionalism. And the future for many of you, you've let go, you've dug deep into your emotions, you've been down your therapies, you've been in your workshops, you've started to hug and love. I'm saying don't overdo the hugging, by the way, dear hearts, otherwise it becomes a need on another level, but it's fine. Because you had been shut down on expressing your love. You're now expressing love without it being a sexual process all the time. You could hug people without feeling, you know, there's a wrong message coming across, whether it's a male or a female hugging. Particularly those ones who are awake now. But what we're saying here is that the future, you're hitting what we call apparently the future, and that's your mental construct which says, tomorrow, how am I going to manage, is the first thing. So, of course, up come your energies again, your fear and everything, again creating, yes, you're talking about spirituality. But you can't talk about it outside of yourself. Your spirit, not spirituality. This is what I want to get through to you. When people say to me, are you spiritual? I say, no, dear heart. I am spirit. I am is all there is. And therefore it requires no concepts or forms or labels or anything like that. No pedestals. None of that is necessary. I and you are one. And therefore there is no separation for me that says you have to kneel at my feet or you have to come to me. I will share with you and have great joy. If you come to me, I do not go looking. I will only come where I am invited, for I am is only ever invited. And once you know who you are, then you are everywhere, anywhere. What I am saying to you, beloved of my heart, call in your presence. Let us midwife you. Let the presence, your great all that is, your macrocosmic consciousness, you are the sweet micro. The beautiful facet of the divine that wants to know itself in the physical, that spirit wants to marry matter. You are the soul, the interface between spirit and matter. You have gone so far, little soul journeyer. Now let spirit come in. For you see, this is the steering. When you start to awaken, that is when you call in your macrocosmic ascended levels, celestial levels, archangelic levels, and whoop-whoop levels. Ho-hum, hey-he. It doesn't matter what we call it anymore. These are your macrocosmic divine consciousness, the light planes itself, the brotherhoods of light. Don't worry about whether they're called El Moria or Jesus or Buddha or Lao Tzu or Yogan. Don't worry. Guys, girls, whatever you want to call them, they're you. They were facets that came in, but they're still consciousness of light just as you are. All that happened is they, what we call, moved into the light and didn't need to be into the density any longer. I will say something that was said to me by a sweet brother called Yogananda. Now, again, please understand, it is not to throw names at you, but I'm trying to help you to understand that very often the names that you think and some people admire so much are also normal consciousness or facets of the divine like you and I. But because we're into us, even when the West started to wake up, because of the fundamental concepts on earth here in the West, they went to the East, to India, to try and find their gurus because something didn't gel here with the old structure. You chose to incarnate in the West. The old structures didn't quite fit with what we call religious concepts anymore. But you knew there was something within you. So some of you shot over immediately to the East to go and find your gurus over there. Again, that is understandable, because it's a different consciousness. It's a more passive consciousness than a reactive consciousness. Everything plays its part beautifully. But many of you now are being invited to become the disciple of your own guru within. I am that. Yogananda made a comment to me, and he said to me that he would not be able to, he said, and I loved it, he said, try and explain to them what they're doing here. He said, when I was there incarnate at the time, as part of my journey, I was still in a fixed program. But I was ready, and I was being invited to bring the East to the West. So, of course, in the own way that humanity could accommodate it at the time, as far as my particular program or journey was I brought in the concepts of the Vedantas and things like that, he said. But he said, what you are doing is something else, you and many more. He said, I chose samadhi. He said, in that case, I cannot come in again. I chose samadhi, so I have reached a plane of light where I don't need to be reborn, he said. But the rebirth is through what we call the astral consciousness of not knowing who you are, the souls that are still wandering that haven't completed their journeys. So, of course, we create the midway stations in our illusions called astral because we have not reached the light yet. So even when we leave our body vehicles because we created death through our thought forms, we have nowhere to go but try and find and try and incarnate through two people making love again. And that's fine because our desire of third dimensional, of physicality is so strong. But there is a greater picture that is taking off now. He said, those dear ones who are incarnate here, instead of them having to leave, can actually incarnate the Christ or the love, the I Am presence in the physical, he said. help them to understand what this is about and how they can walk as the beloved on this planet, but not be in fear of it. Not be in fear of anything, where everything just flows. For, and this is what I'm saying to you, he, as a soul choice, was not given that opportunity once he made his soul decision. First to incarnate at the time he incarnated, and then to leave when he left. He was already showing, even when he was the 3 weeks that where he was, his body was incorruptible, he was showing that he had already translated the body on another level and was showing and left it as a message for many of us. I don't know whether people realize that. But yet again, as he said, they're making a thing out of me all over again. There they are worshipping me, he said. This was not what it was about. He said, I understand. But he said, they'll wake up when they're ready. He said, it is only their self-realization that can take place in due course. Not to deny it, because it's a beautiful concept, even doesn't matter how it has been presented, with dear ones coming together in unity, whether it is through self-realization. I'm not negating the Yogananda at all. I'm simply saying we can take it ourselves. We don't need a guru. No one needs anything like that. Will you please, I encourage you, let us midwife you. You don't need to strive at spiritual concepts. You don't need to strive at meditation. You've done so well, all of you, many of you. It's because of people such as you and many thousands more who have allowed the consciousness to shift already. Now, what you are doing is many will choose to allow and will be responsible for birthing the golden age, as we call it. And that will be where there is a shift. And many of you are now seeing it in the media, on the television. It doesn't matter how it appears to be very bizarre, some of the stuff that's taking place. It's immaterial. For this is the polarity being shown to you of your dualities, and all is well. Always embrace it and face it and embrace it, whether you call it your fear or anything. Be understanding about your fearful child, your wounded child, your fearful child, your inner child, your outer child, your emotional child, your mental child. God, it's got so many names. Understand it is simply energy that is shifting through you, that is all. So as you start to call in the beloved, you bet you're going to lighten up. Many of you have already started, have dug a lot of your stuff away. And many of you are now feeling good about who you are. But you ain't started yet, gorgeous. Not in any way to, and this is what we're saying to you. You're not going to have a hard time. Only you, your mind, can say it's hard. You are where your attention is. You are where your focus is, beloved. I and my Father, not gender, dear hearts, you guys are beyond that. I and my beloved are one. I will to will thy will. Listen to this. For if you truly do want to incarnate and be the divine here and incarnate, and what when I say incarnate, integrate the beloved that you are from another level, then you won't care a damn of how much you get paid at the end of it. If you are loving what you're doing in a situation, I'm saying you don't have to leave your stations, dear hearts, if you love where you are. But I also will always ask you to ask yourselves, am I in it for fear or am I in it for love? That is always a very, to thine own self be true, and you have to sooner or later come to your own truth within, no matter what is being said and what you may convey outside. If you love what you do, then there's the flow coming into you, whether it's through a piece of paper called money or anything like that. But also, there are different ways of serving, no more, no less. But I will encourage you, when I'm saying let us birth you, is that the journey is within, it's not without. When you allow the radiant of love, the beloved presence to fully integrate with you and keep calling it in and say, thy will, beloved, not my will. My will is the little fear, and it's to be understood. And we love you, and we concur, and we understand the programs. We're not here to berate you, not at all. We are here to say, we understand, beloved, of the fixed programs of fear that you've been in, which you as a collective consciousness of humanity created, not knowing who you were. But now you, beloved of my heart, the true beloved is awakening within you, and you are it in this most beautiful facet. It's not about can I see auras? Who cares, so what? It's not about what I can do. Can I manifest an apple on my hand? Who cares, so what? That's 3D stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, we will take you to the height of your 3D levels, even as you start to awaken through spirituality. But sooner or later, you say, hang on a minute. I am spirit in the physical. I and my beloved are one. The lover and the beloved itself come into being. Whatever and wherever you do, it doesn't matter. As I say, with your cleaning sinks, peeling vegetables, if you love where you are. Again, the single I am focus. This is what I've said to you and how the symbol has been given to you all this time. I am is the focus itself. Let the capstone birth you. Let the capstone come down over you, which is the Alpha and the Omega joining together, the lover and the beloved, the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Mother, all levels, every part of you, the love, the will, and the Sun itself, the light, coming together at last, but in the physical. You are divinitizing matter, beloved of my heart, and that is what is so significant of this journey, and why you are so, and you are feeling that quickening within you. But we're saying it doesn't have to be a hard birth. It doesn't have to be a difficult marriage. Call in your beloved to take command of every particle of your being. Beloved, I am presence. Beloved of my heart, all that is. Take command of every particle of my being. My mind. My world. My feelings. And my body. Blaze, blaze, blaze the fullness of thy perfection in, through, and around me, wherever I am. Manifest now and eternally to bless, to heal with love and comfort, to raise all with thy perfection. For you are the perfection itself here. So I can only encourage you to call in your great macrocosmic levels of I am and let the beloved birth you. You have done your homework, little ones, many of you. It is not to strive and say, again we will say, yes, be alert at your thoughts. Stand back as the thinker and the thought are one. In the past, the thinker and the thinker has got the thought and created the drama from the thought. Stand back, you are creator in the middle of creations, and you bet you've got your one foot on one level, one foot on the other, and at times the road feels rocky.
End of tape.